the God that separated me from my dear Lord. It was so fast, the crossing I could never fall. Where I was to His command seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. And He came to me. Was bound in chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. And He came to me. He came to me. Oh, when I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why to where He was, He came to me. When I could not come to where my Jesus was, came to me. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. So we just enjoy the blessings of God that He's given us. And we thank Him for all that He's doing for us. All right. Amen. All right. We're reading in the Word of God this morning from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter to begin with. And Lord's willing, we will read several other places as we go along here. Because it's a certain thing I believe that God's doing in this hour. And Paul, in his day and in his time, he had the ability, by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, to write things that would come, that would take on a life, and they would live and come forth in this hour. It's just like planting a seed in the garden, in the field. And the little seed comes up and goes through its different stages, but it always come back to the original. Amen. If it's not perverted, it's not hybrid, any seed will come back to the original. Amen. So Paul planted the Word, and he planted a seed concerning the mind of Christ. Amen. And we realize the church fell away and went into the dark ages. Amen. But it came back again. Hallelujah. Like a seed being planted, come back to the original that went in the ground. And although it came through an age where there was just stalk, and you didn't have this seed. Now, it's so amazing, it's a miracle to me. You plant just a small grain of corn, and it comes up a couple little blades, and then later on it comes on up into a stalk, and then the leaves on it, and then the tassel. And all of that is coming to, it takes all that to make the little seed again, see? Amen. How many knows it? It has to go through that stage, and while it's in that stage, it doesn't look anything like what went in the ground. Now, there would be no argument with any of you if I cut a stalk of corn and brought the corn stalk in you and show you, and have the stalk of corn and a little seed together, and say, this is that. That's this, you know. Well, you would say, there's something wrong with this picture. Amen. Well, that's the way it, in the church ages, that's what you had, the stalk. And that's what we see when we look out here in a lot of these religious systems. But the point is, the stalk was totally necessary. Amen. You can't have the grain of corn without having the stalk. Amen. There would be no way for this church to survive in the way that it was in Paul's day, dark ages, and in the times as it came through the different ages, it had to come through in the stalk first, see? Amen. To get that sap, but the sap was in the stalk. The same life that was in that seed was in the stalk. So what we see out here in religious system at one time, the life flowed right through there. Amen. And you know, wheat, it's sometimes, we look at wheat and we see a hull around the wheat, the chaff, with what it, it comes into this, what we call the chaff. It's taken away from it as it gets ripe. But you look at that wheat and you would think that's wheat. But when you look, it's just a hull. That's wheat is to be formed, but it has to be there to protect that little grain of wheat until it matures. And then the wheat, as it begin to mature and get hard, the life comes into it and it began to season to get ready for the harvest. That chaff will pull away from it. See, the stalk and the husk and all those things, the shuck on corn, none of that is air with the seed. That was just a necessary part to get us there. So God's brought us back to what was put in the ground to begin with. Paul's original seed word that he sowed. And I said that to help us to see why he's talking about all the church having one mind, one judgment, no division, and all. Now, when we look out here at the religious world, we see the stalk, what it has been, where the life come, and it don't look like that, because everyone thinks different, everyone teaches different, and as many different denominations you got, that's as many different beliefs there are. And all those things were surrounded the seed, the life, and you take what Martin Luther did in Germany in the 15th century, as he came out of the Catholic Church and began to protest the Catholic Church there. Well, he went into the political realm, got the King of Germany lined the army up behind him, and it was more or less an outward battle for truth, you know. And it didn't look like what Paul had, because they didn't believe the same thing. He believed the just shall live by faith was one of the truths, but many of the truths he disregarded. Same thing with John Wesley. And the Methodists, they came out, there is no such word in the Bible where that you can either be baptized or sprinkled, see. That is unknown to the Bible. Amen. It don't look like the seed, see. But that was the stalk, and the life came right on through that, and when John Wesley got through preaching his message, it was known that we not only need to be justified by faith, but our life need to express Christ. And of course, then came the Pentecostal, but we won't get in that. And they teach that you got to talk in tongues or you don't have the Holy Ghost and so on like that. The early church didn't teach that. Paul didn't teach it. But there was. So what we do, we bypass all this up here. We've come through it. We don't disrespect what God did, because some things God do that's was necessary then to bring us to where we're at now, see. Hallelujah. And take the little book of Revelation chapter 10. It was taken away and it was sealed up with seven seals in heaven. And the church died and went in the ground. It come back the next, it has come back just like plants. The trees, the life goes into the trees, and I thank God for this time of the year, resurrection time. Easter it's called. Amen. By that somewhere we picked that name up and added to it, but actually, Bible, it would be like Passover season in the Old Testament, or something like that. And then that's when the lamb was killed. And we know Christ was killed, but we're not talking about him dying so much as him living, say. Amen. The life's coming forth. Amen. And we're not talking too much about the stalk dying, see. It has died. Amen. But the life's coming forth. Hallelujah. The trees, the life was hid away in the roots through the long winter month. But now the life is coming forth. It's expressing it. And whatever the seed was, pretty soon now you'll see that seed again. Hallelujah. So there's a seed within us, see. And it's not a seed to produce the stalk, because the life has gone through the stalk. Now there is absolutely no way, don't matter how good you take a stalk of corn, you can put a ribbon around it, and you can paint it green, because it'll be brown when the life goes. You can paint it green, you can put a ribbon around it, and you can do all these things. You can put some leaves, you can even paint the leaves green, make it look like a green stalk there. But you can't bring the life that was there that caused that. You can't take it back down through that dead stalk. Amen. When it comes through that stalk, it dies, and the life can never be put back in that stalk, because the life that was in that stalk traveled the way God ordained, and it went into the seed. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why we preach like we do. That's why we talk like we do. That's why we talk about, when Paul talked about the mind of Christ in you. Amen. Christ leading you.
because that's what was the original. And when you go back to what Paul teach, you see what he started out. You see the soul, you see the seed that was planted, and it's got to look like the same thing when it come, amen, to life. And Paul said, we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord's not going to hinder them that's dead, but we'll be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye and be called up to meet the Lord in there. Praise God. That's what was planted. Amen. That's what Paul was thinking about. That was the mind of Christ in Paul. Although it didn't come to pass in the days of Paul. Amen. Because the life went into the stalk. Paul did not see the stalk age. And when I say that, there is no scripture that Paul wrote that would indicate any sense of the word that he even saw seven church ages. Because when he spoke, and it had to be spoken like that, he spoke that when we, which are alive, he fully preached it in the sense that he would be that one among the rest of the church that would not go by the way of the grave, but would go in a rapture. Hallelujah. And him knowing them that did go by the way of the grave, he said, they will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain. Amen. Says we'll be changed in a moment and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the reason I'm expressing this in this manner here is that nothing but that is the church. Nothing but that is the why. Hallelujah, because that's what they started out with. It can't wind up something different. If it does, you're still in the stalk age and there's no life in the stalk age. How many sees it now? Amen. I was explaining this and I told you about it before down in Athens, Georgia. And the head of the agriculture department was there. And he visited the churches from time to time just to, he was from away and they hired him there for to teach there in the university. But he would visit some of the churches to just for what would you call it, to be in with the people somewhat, that he wouldn't be a stranger to the people. So he just so happened to visit the church I was at that day. And I spoke and I brought some of these things in. He and his wife sat on the very first row, first pew, and he brought his notebook and he began to write a lot. And that's what I've told this before, so I won't express it. But the point was, it was exciting that what he asked me and the things he was writing. He said, you know, I've never really saw it like that. I've got to teach on that next week. And he said, now I can't hardly wait to get there because I don't know how to tell that life where it went and how it come back and how it come back to the seed. He said, I've never heard it explained. So they didn't explain it like that in the university. And I wasn't taught that way. Amen. But said, you made it so clear this morning. Hallelujah. Well, see, that's what we've got to look at, the Word. We've got, and when we look at it, we can never, never, ever know what the Word is to be unless we see what seed was put in the ground. Hallelujah. Now, you take bean seed, pea seeds, or corn, or whatever it is, don't matter what the stalk looked like. That has nothing to do with it. We used to grow peas, you know. And when we, in the fall year, when we got the other crop up, we'd sow peas in vines all over the place. And the cattle, they love that. But what made that vine was a little seed. Amen. And that vine, it would be just the whole field covered up. But the seed would be small. You could take a big field and get the grain up, get the plant there. It'd be plants all over the place. You couldn't even see the ground. They'd be so thick. But when you gather them all up, it wouldn't be very many seed. Amen. But it took all that to produce this. That's what I'm telling you this morning. It took all oldies, way the church came all the way to it, took seven messengers. Seven angels. Amen. It took all that to bring us to where we're at today. Amen. We're rejoicing in the land. Now we see clearly what went in the ground. So that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm going to title my message here, The Mind of Christ Has Come to the Earth and into the His Wife. Amen. The Mind of Christ. Amen. Now it was hid away, the little book, but He comes, He brings it back. Now, the little book represents all that Paul taught. It represents the seed, amen, that was planted in its original. As it went through the different stages, amen, he brings it back. He brings back that original, see. Amen. It's not something else. It's the original. So when we look at, let's just begin here in 1 Corinthians. Remember where the mind of Christ has come to earth. That's Revelation chapter 10, where He comes down, He brings the book, and there's a body to be baptized into, so I'm going to try to work my way into that as we minister this morning. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God today, don't you? Amen, so real. But look what the Word says, Paul speaking. He says now, this is 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that. Amen. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He just weren't saying it's God. God did this, God do that, God, God, God. Amen. But He personalized it, the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Amen. God's everywhere present at the same time. And God is doing many, many things today that has nothing to do with the church here, has nothing to do with the bride. For instance, He's bringing all the nations into where they have to be for the end time. You read the book of Ezekiel, how there's got to be an Ezekiel war, and many, many things. God's doing that. And God's, He's working in the universe, keeping the stars and planets, and they say millions of light years away. I don't know, and I'm not going to try to figure all that out because that's not part of what God's called me to do, say. Amen. And Earth, how it was billions of years ago, I've heard a lot of them try to explain that. That's all right. But amen, but God has all that under control in the mind of God. But then when Jesus came, that was a human. Amen. Deals with human being. How many knows it? He was born as a little baby. He lived in the 33 years that He lived here on this earth. Amen. He was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. He was tried, and He said, I counsel thee to buy me that gold that was tried in fire. That was the testing, the life that He lived. Amen. Well, God's been all everywhere present at the same time, always. Spirit. No man can see God. No man has seen God or can see God. The only way we can see God is manifestation of God, like a pillar of fire and like a cloud by day, a fire by night. That's the way He revealed Himself to the children of Israel. But Jesus is our Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not just a shepherd to us. He's a husband to us. Hallelujah. Amen. So those are things all around. But Paul, there's 13 books in your little book that deals with his wife, see. Amen. So he says here that, beseech you by the name of Jesus Christ, that you all speak exactly the same thing. The same thing, he said. Now, that's all the minister. That brings it down there. Some people say, well, in a way, I guess they do, and maybe in a way, they don't. And like the lady told me sometime back, said, Brother Howard, that sounds so good, what you're saying. It says, it's really, really sounds good. And you got some scripture there, but it says, let's face reality. That's what she said. She said, you know as well as I do, in reality, everybody's not going to see eye to eye. Everybody's not going to speak the same thing. Said, we know that. We're grown ups and we know how things are. Amen. Well, that's looking strictly from the human standpoint. Amen. The Word talks about that you have the mind of Christ. See, it has come down to earth, and we operate by the mind of Christ because our mind and His mind is exactly the same. The wife's mind and the husband's mind be of one mind. Amen. How many knows that? Now watch what he says here. That y'all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now there's a seed. Now we're not looking for anything separate from that. We're not looking for a way to divert from that or deviate from it. Amen. We're looking at this is the way it is because it's a word and there's nobody has a right to change it and say it's going to be different because the world or someone else does differently. The seed still is a bean seed. Amen. Yes, you got the stalks, but you got the blooms, you got the pollen, but we're getting back to the original that's going to take the rapture. Amen. That's going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. How many knows it? Amen. So we see what Christ has brought back His mind to earth. Amen. And He's given it to His wife. The mind of Christ has come to earth. Amen. How do I know Christ Himself came? Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And when I'm talking about Christ Himself, I'm not talking about the physical man, Jesus. He don't come till after the tribulation, the ruling reign in the morning. We're called up to meet the physical Jesus in the air. Hallelujah. How many knows it? Glory to God. All right. Now, while we're here in 1 Corinthians, let's pick up with verse 9 of 2 Corinthians here. I mean, 2nd chapter of 1 Corinthians. Amen. And let's continue on a little bit here. Telling here, it's a scripture a lot of people use at funerals, and I've used it myself, but a lot of people don't go on with it. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter into the hearts of men the thing that God has prepared for them that love Him." That's the natural world in general. That's the populace in general. It hadn't entered in. They don't know. They're looking for a heaven up there, a city of gold, and they're looking for another country somewhere when right here on this earth is where we're to be throughout eternity. And the city, you are the city. Jesus said, "You're the city. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." Hallelujah. When John was picked up on the mountain, remember the message some weeks back? When John was picked up on the mountain, he saw the city. When you get picked up on the mountain in the mind of Christ, amen, you begin to see clearly. Now, watch next verse, how it says. It says, "But God has revealed Him unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit which is in man? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." That pretty much closed the door to knowing the things of God, except it's revealed by the Spirit. Amen, because it's a spiritual realm, and that's where we've entered into. Paul said in the book of Romans 8 chapter, amen, talk about in the flesh being in the flesh. He said, "But you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit." Now we could say, "What in the world are you talking about, Paul? Have you lost your mind?" Amen. Because we look like we're in the flesh here. Amen. But He's talking about a realm that our inner man goes into, that our soul, that our spirit, our mind, our thinking. Amen. To the point where He said, "You're not in the flesh." Amen. Just like Jesus said, "You're not of the world." You're in the world, but not of the world. Hallelujah. But you're in another realm. You've been baptized into, translate into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So that our looking, it becomes different from the world. world has not seen, man has not seen, but God reveals to a people. Hallelujah. And He revealed to Paul that the church, they would all speak the same thing because they'll have the same mind. The last verse of this chapter. Amen. All right, it says, verse 12 here, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Oh, brother. Paul, you need to stand right here and tell us that today. We have not received the spirit of the world. Amen. Then why do we act like the world a lot of times? Amen. Watch that. Why do we function like we're in the world? We're not of the world. The spirit we've received, now I want to read that again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. So it's so much different. You just know spiritual things. Some people say, I don't know about that, Brother Ben. That means you can go to a seminary. That makes no difference. That don't mean God has revealed something to you by His Spirit. You might say, I read the Word of God daily. Well, that's real good, but that don't mean that God has revealed something to you by the Spirit. Hallelujah, because this is an entirely different realm. Hallelujah, as we're getting into more into the mind of Christ, you're going to see it. Hallelujah. And then we go on next verse, 13. I'm hurrying a little bit with the reading here because time. Yeah, I have a tendency to use more time than I intend to. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, our teaching and preaching, I don't get it. And when you read Paul's writings, these things Paul write, you say, I don't get it. He talk about things, he says, you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And you're not your own. And seek those things which are above where your life's at. Amen. And he goes into a realm where you say, I can't get my mind around that, Paul. Well, you probably never will. Amen. But in the Spirit, it's revealed. It's made known by the Spirit of God. And it makes perfect sense to those that have the mind of Christ. Because the man that was writing this had the mind of Christ. And in order to get the pure, undefiled revelation of it, you too has to have the mind of Christ. Can you say amen? You can't get your mind around it otherwise. Woo! I tell you, this is getting good. Praise God what God's doing in this day and hour that we're living in. Now, let's get the next verse. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, you'll hear, I just can't get my mind around it. Just can't get my, can't wrap my head around that, some would say. Amen. No, and you never will, but you can wrap the Spirit of God around it. Hallelujah, and you can see it perfectly. And then he goes on here, verse 15, he that is spiritual judges all things. Amen. Yet he himself is not judged. Amen. The natural man can't judge you. Amen, because he don't see where your inspiration's coming from. How can you say that, Paul? How can you say that we have been translated already out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? How can you say that? Amen, because that's the truth. Amen, he can say it. And we know what he means. But now watch the next verse I like. It says, who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But watch here. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now that settles it right there. Amen. The mind of Christ has come to earth again and is in his wife, see. Amen. We have the mind. That's why we think like we do. That's why we can't think any other way. That's why the things of the world, it has lost its glitter, say. Amen. When there's a glow of the Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. This thing don't glitter. It glows with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Because we've got a different mind. We don't have just the mind that we were born with. Amen. Christ come within us and He brings His mind, His attributes, His gift, His power, His love, His ways. Amen. And we become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creation. And then Paul said, we stand in Christ's stead. We speak for Christ. Hallelujah. When I say we speak for Christ, he said, ye are ambassador of Christ. And an ambassador to speak from, you can't speak for him unless you have his mind, his spirit, his attributes, understand spiritual things. We have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, having the mind of Christ, he baptizes you into the body. Amen. You become members of the body of Christ. How many knows it? Now, this here is a great mystery, but I want to read that to you in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians here. And that's how the mighty angels take on a physical being. Just like in the days of Paul when he spoke about the body of Christ. You're baptized into it. Amen. Those things were something. The church were coming in. They were prophetic utterance of Paul. But God knew, although Paul did not, unless it was one of the things he couldn't talk about. There was something God saw, let Paul see that he said it wouldn't be profitable. Wouldn't even be lawful to tell about it right now. Amen. But the church were, Paul spoke it, looked for it, anticipated it, but God knew that it weren't going to come to pass in His time. How many knows that? So He laid in there exactly about the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But Christ has withdrawn Himself in that early age when the church fell away and He ministered. He was seen as a high priest. And His ministering ways was one of the seven angels that stood before the throne of God, Revelation chapter 1, every church age he would send one of them angels and work right through that. Hallelujah, till Christ come again. But hallelujah, after the seven thunders uttered their voices, the seven angels uttered their voices and pointed back and showed the seven messengers what has been through all the ages. Hallelujah, we'll arrive back home. Praise God, amen. Can you say amen? Then we got the mind of Christ. We're a member of the body of Christ. And Christ's body doesn't have a double-minded. The body of Christ cannot be double-minded. Amen. It has to have the same mind, same judgment. Amen. To be the body of Christ. And all has to speak the same thing. Amen. And when I say that, I'm not meaning copy somebody to say the same words, but the same revelation. How many know that God give each one of you your own vocabulary? Amen. But when you got that vocabulary speaking by the same Spirit, it'll mount up to saying the same thing. Hallelujah. How many knows it? Praise God. So, I'll read a scripture too here that I'll start with verse. The first part, get the gifts and all, the nine gifts, and they're so good, but we won't get that on this particular message here. I'll start with verse 12. 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 12. It says, as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one. So, also, now that sounds confusing, don't it? Many, you're one. Many, you're one. Amen. Well, the thing is, we are many, but we're one. We're the body of Christ. How can we be that way with the same mind? Because the mind of Christ has to supersede your human mind. Did you hear what I say? Don't let that statement miss go over your head. The mind of Christ, when you yield it to Him, will supersede your natural thinking. Amen. You will begin to think like Christ. He don't take away your natural mind because you need it. When you drive your car, you go on the job, you do your business. Amen. But on the spiritual thing, amen, Christ is foremost. Amen. And everything has to do what the Bible says, do all things unto the glory of God. Hallelujah. Don't mean you don't do anything. Some people think you don't do anything. Yes, you continue on your life. You continue with your business. You continue what you're doing. Amen. As long as you're not doing something illegal or something detrimental. Amen. But the point is, He don't mean to tell us stop our lives, stop our jobs, stop death. No, He's saying there's another mind coming to you. And that other mind's going to redirect your thoughts, your ambition, going to redirect your goals in life. Hallelujah. It'll just so completely redirect your goals that that big mansion you were planning on working and scheming and planning for, the bill and all those great things, somewhere or another, this supersedes that. And you say, I've already got a mansion. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Amen. Take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We've got home. Amen. Right to the mind of Christ. So you're many yet one. Yes, when service over today, we go our separate ways in the flesh, and we use our mind to drive our cars and whatever, and we get something to eat, dinner or whatever, or fellowship. But yet all the while, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, like Brother Clifford on the way up here. He just, he put a tape in, and he said, I almost got happy coming on church. Well, now see, that's not natural mind. That's not a carnal mind. Amen. You thinking on the things that's important, see. Amen. Now, a lot of people get into a business, and they dedicate their life to it. And that's their life. See, and it's all consuming. Well, that is certainly detrimental to the mind of Christ. There can only be one thing in your life that's all consuming. It has to be Christ Jesus. Amen. As He prepares you to be changed. And the change already begun. Our thinking, this is what God's begun to change, already begun. Hallelujah, inner man. We're just sometimes get lonesome in this old body. Paul did. He said, I have a desire to go on and be with the Lord, but it's more profitable for me to stay here. See, amen. Homesick for heaven. We got a longing to go, we'd say. Amen, but we've come to heaven. Hallelujah. All we do is walk out of these bodies into the theophany, the glorified body. And they're here this morning just as plain. Amen. We just walk right into it. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been in the presence of mine, and God let it become visible on more than one occasion. Well, this spirit in here has to fit in there. If it don't, it'll never go into it. See? Amen. That's where the mind of Christ has got to be in you. Now watch. You're baptized into one body. Let me get that scripture. If I get preaching too much here, and run off and leave, you just bear with me here. But notice the being into one body. But it winds up being many members are one body, so also is Christ. Alright, watch now the next verse. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And it don't matter if you're a Jew, Gentile, it don't matter if you're bound or free, we've all been made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then he goes on down about the foot, can't say the hand can't say foot, and thus and so on like that. Amen. But get over here to verse 27. As he continues the thought there, but he says, now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular. Now, can you believe that? Amen. When you're walking around here, you're expressing the body of Christ. You've been baptized into it. We're just members of the same. That's why we're members of the same body. That's why one mind directs the whole body. I cannot raise my hand unless my mind tells my hand to raise. I cannot move my feet unless my mind tells my feet to move. I cannot dance in the Spirit unless my mind tells my feet to dance. Hallelujah. I can't shake hands with you unless my mind says, put forth your hands and shake hands. Amen. See, and we have the mind of Christ. We are members of the body of Christ, and it keeps right on. Paul keeps bringing it up like that, till he finishes up by saying, ye are. Now, he didn't say you type out something. Now, I want you to notice that. Verse 27. He didn't say we type out something or we're a type of something. No, plain and simple, ye are the body of Christ. And he says plain and simple, you have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Do you see that and do you believe it? Then we cannot, and then what we read to begin with, then we all have the same mind and the same judgment, and we speak the same thing. How many sees the body now? Praise God. I get excited here and beat the desk and turn the table. Amen. I get beside myself. Amen. One time I was preaching, I said, somebody bring a rope and tie me to the pulpit. Amen. This gets your juices flowing. Amen. This make an old man feel young. Hallelujah. And the weak feel strong. Hallelujah. He said, let the weak say I'm strong. Amen. You'll mount up with the wings like an eagle. You'll run, not be weary. You'll walk, not be faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're all operating with the same mind, the same spirit, and we're members one of another. And we're all baptized into the same body, and then he translates this body into the Spirit of life. Amen. That word translation he used, that is Colossians 1:13. Hallelujah. Translated into the kingdom of light. Notice, we're baptized into the body, we're members of the body, and translated into the kingdom of life, and given the same mind, and these nine gifts, given the same gifts that operated in Jesus, he put them in the body. And that means we have to have each other, because he don't give all gifts to one person. Amen. If he give all gifts to one person, you know what, you'd be Jesus. Amen. And he ain't but one of him, see. How many knows it? Praise God. So he said he gives it as several as he will. Amen. And then we bless each other with the gifts that God gives. That's why each joint supplies the other. Hallelujah. When the foolish virgin came, they didn't have the revelation on these things. And they said, give us of your oil. But the wise virgin say, not so. But we can exchange oil between one another and we never lose a drop. Hallelujah. What I do for you, what we do for the body of Christ, what you do for me, we never lose a thing. Hallelujah. How many know it stays right in the body? Glory to God. Now the Jews, when they started out on their Pentecost, they wanted to be one. They were the brethren, not the bride. Has nothing to do with the bride. The gospel hadn't even come to the Gentiles. But they decide, well, we're going to be one. Well, you know what they did? If they had, they sold her, if they had an extra house or whatever it was, and a little extra land or something, they sold it and they brought all the money and pooled it together, and we're all going to live out of the same pot. Well, it lasted for a while, and then it never was a commandment of God. They tried to do it through the natural. That's the way a lot of people try to do this through the natural. Amen. He baptizes you into the body by the Spirit. Has nothing to do with earthly possessions. Can you say amen? You may be as poor as Job's turkey, or you may be as rich as Lazarus. Amen. I don't know if Job's turkey was poor. Amen. But he lost everything, so it could have been, you know. Amen. But that has nothing to, what I'm saying has nothing to do with your physical arrangements. Amen. Paul said those that will be rich. Amen. You can be rich, but see that they be liberal and so on like that. Don't get $1,000 and can't sleep good till you get 2,000. And when you get 2, can't rest till you get 4. No, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, don't say, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And tomorrow I'm going to do that. I've got my plans out here about 10 years from now. I got everything. If things go like I'm planning and I'm working for 10 years from now, I'll be all right. Well, that's what the rich man said. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build some bigger ones. I'm getting so rich, and pretty soon I'm going to have enough earthly possession that all I've got to do is say to my soul, soul, take thy rest. Be at ease. You've got everything you'll ever need. But the word came, said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall it? But whose shall your possession be? Amen. But sufficient today is evil thereof. In other words, God has given you something for today. Be happy with that. Amen. If 10 years down the road God give you something great, amen, and then enjoy life till that 10 years get here. But I tell you what, if my thinking is right, 10 years from now, you're going to have to go up somewhere to find me. Amen. But he said, let us say, if it be the will of the Lord. I remember one thing my daddy used to always say. Amen. They like to plow corn, plow this field this way or that way. Sometimes plant, and it would rain or something, couldn't it? But he'd say, be the will of the Lord. How many of you ever heard the old timer? Be the will of the Lord. That was just a common saying among the farmers and the country folks. Be the will of the Lord, we'll do this, we'll do that. But now we've got arrogance. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do... who cares about the will of God? I've got things to do and places to go. I hadn't got time to fool around trying to pray and find out what God's will is. I got stuff to do. Yeah, well... go ahead. Amen. But the mind of Christ has come down. It's different now. Amen. It's not a church anymore. It's not how many doors you can knock on. Amen. And how many things you can do. Amen. It's how much you can yield to the righteousness of God. Amen. When He comes, amen, you're baptized into that body by one Spirit, and He gives you one mind. He also gives you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why when we see the marriage of the Lamb is coming, His wife has made herself ready, and unto her it was granted. Amen, that she should be clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. And the righteousness of the saints come right straight from God, because you go to the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, you'll find that He gives you the gift of righteousness. Now, if He gives you the gift, you can't earn it. Amen. Don't matter what. You can work your fingernails off. You'll never earn one speck of righteousness. Amen. How many know it's given to you? It's a gift that He gives. He gives, the Father gives this gift to the body. Amen. And you become Christ in the earth. And Paul said, again, let me repeat this and I'm closing. Paul said, ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular. Not just you. I like the way Paul wrote it. And isn't God so good? He didn't say, ye are, he didn't say, you as an individual is the body of Christ. No. He said, ye are the body of Christ and members. in particular. And he didn't want you to get your eye on one man and say, that's Jesus there. Amen. In the sense, we're all little Jesuses. We're all little eaglets. Hallelujah. But there's not a one of us can step forth. Amen. And he said he would give his glory to no man, but he put his glory upon the body. Paul said, they glorified Christ in me. I can glorify Christ in you. We can glorify Christ in one another. Amen. But all the time we're looking for the King to come. How many knows it? Amen. God bless you today. Hallelujah. He brings down. He brings the mind of Christ to earth and gives it to his wife. Amen. Yes, it was sealed away with seven seals, and we've been through all that, and I'm not going to try to go through it again too much here, but I just want you to know the thunder's other than the seals open, and all these church ages has elapsed, and we've come through that. Now he comes. Revelation 10:1, roaring like a lion. Amen. His face like the sun. He's risen again, we could say. He's risen in our heart. Amen. The trees are putting forth buds and leaves and blooms. Amen. And we're on the move. God bless you today. Just thank you for the attention you give to the Word. And I tell you, you might pardon me for getting so excited, then you might enjoy seeing me this way. But ain't anything wrong with me. Amen. Somebody said, you think you got a bit of Alzheimer's? Well, I don't know. I'm old enough, but I tell you, if I am, I'm happy. I'm the happiest person you ever seen with a little drop of Alzheimer's. Amen. Glory to God, because I get away from these natural things and get in the realm of the spiritual thing. Amen. I'm so glad I got the mind of Christ. Amen. Do you love him today? Isn't he wonderful to you? Amen. To fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Let him become your all in all. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. And you could never get through saying what he is, but he's blessed. Just use your own words. My words, I run out of words when I try to tell how good he is, how wonderful, and what he means to me. But I never run out of words when I think how I love him. So let's sing the little chorus in closing out today. I love him. Mean it with all your heart now. I, because he first. Amen. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there. When I was down and out, you came along and made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd give them all to my Lord. He's been so good to me, that is the least I could afford. He's made good times outnumber the bad, been the best friend I've ever had. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.